All right, Seneca, you're going to help me for a second, right? You get to stay right there. Okay, you know how to work one of these, right? Cell phone, see? Stopwatch, huh? See the start button? So like you would touch it and it goes and then there'll be red and you stop it, right? You know how to do that? You good with that? Very good, very good. I'll tell you when to start. I'm going to read. You start when I read, okay? You ready? Go. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. How much time? 2 minutes and 34? 3 minutes and 34 seconds. First lesson for this morning. I just read a chapter of the Bible in 3 minutes and 34 seconds. If you could possibly somehow find 3 minutes and 34 seconds a day in your busy life and read the Bible, you can read one chapter and it'll change your life. Do you have 3 minutes and 34 seconds a day to read your Bible? You can read an entire chapter in 3 minutes and 34 seconds. It will change your life. But our message today is in this chapter. And I want to look. I'm just going to camp right here at verse 12 for just a little bit, because this is where I want to talk about as we get Easter ready. We prepare for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to celebrate that holiday. We're going to celebrate that weekend. And I don't want us to just go into it as another holiday. I want us to prepare a little bit, to think about it. I don't want it to be a one and done flash. It's over. What's the next holiday? It's spring. Let's go. I want us to think about it. So in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out," that means work to completion, "you're saved, but keep going, keep working it out, work to completion, there's work to do, "work out your own salvation," your own, "with fear and trembling." So as we complete the work, as we're moving to completion in our salvation, I'm saved and now I have stuff to do. There's a job for us to do. He's going to talk about that. He says, "I want you to do it with fear and trembling." Now that's not reverence and trembling. That's fear and quaking. That's what the word trembling means, quaking. As you move, as you work, as you share, as we help each other, as we love each other, we always have a little fear in our pocket. We know what the outcome is for many people. We talked about it last week. We talked about Hades and hell and all that. There's a great white throne judgment. We always have that in our pocket. And he says, "Work out your salvation, complete, keep going." Always keep that rock in your pocket, fear and quaking. That's fear. All right? Now, you would think at this point, he's going to mention some pretty ugly sins to be careful of. If you got fear and quaking, watch out for this one. Okay? So let's see where he goes. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things," do everything you're doing, your work, "without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights. Hold fast to the word of life." So this heinous criminal sin that he tells us, that he mentions as he's talking about complete your work in Christ with fear and quaking, the awfulness that he dares to mention is grumbling and disputing. I would think at this point, brother, I would think that he would say, "Terry, you got some pretty nasty stuff. I mean, if you're going to be saved and go forward, you've got to watch out for this one. This one will bite you," right? I mean, this is, I would think it would be something ugly. I mean, I would think it would be like, what, you know, being just stone drunk or lying to people or cheating on your wife or adultery. I mean, I'm thinking, and he says, no. He says, what I'm thinking here is grumbling and disputing. Grumbling, murmuring, and disputing. It means you're kind of contrary. You dispute things. You reason, literally, you reason against things. I don't know why we're doing that. Of all the heinous acts a Christian could do to fear and tremble over, why does he say that? Well, he's going to tell us. And the first reason is, what I really like about this, the first reason is he says in verse 12, "as you've always obeyed." So he's talking to obedient believers. He says, "I know you've always obeyed. You have been a really good, obedient church there at Philippi. I want you to continue working with fear and trembling, and don't you dare murmur and dispute. Don't you be a contrary old thing." Why? He says, you used to do it really well in my when I was present with you. When I was there, man, you would do anything I asked you to do. It's like, Paul's in town, and if I needed something, you did it. If I was hungry, you got me food. If I needed clothing, man, you were there. If I said, hey, guys, we should walk across town in dark, in our underwear, and do this, you would do it. You would do anything for me. And he says, but now that I'm gone, you should do it even more. Without grumbling, without disputing. Here it is. For it's God who works in you to shape your will and your work for his good pleasure. I'm gone. Now it's you and God. And it's God working in you. It's God saying, hey, dude, go over there at midnight in your underwear and serve and wait on these people. Take them food. Go do this. Go do that. If you're going to grumble and dispute and be contrary, you're not doing it to me. It's God. It's you and God now. The big show's left town. And we all love to go to the big show, don't we? We all love to go to the big event. We all love to go. I mean, remember when what was the one that was here in south end of town? Revive Indiana. Man, did half this county jump on board on Revive Indiana. I'm not here to put down Revive Indiana. I am here to say people found time. People carved out time. People carved out energy. People carved out life to go to the big show. And if Kyle Martin was to say this, he would say, hey, brothers, I'm not there anymore. It's you and God now. So you find the time and the energy even more to serve because it's God in you. It's God wanting to shape your will and to shape your work. And if you're going to murmur and dispute, you know why it's such a heinous thing? Because you're murmuring, disputing against God, against His Spirit in you, His Spirit in your church, in your congregation, in this family that's so moving. Matt just come up to me and he said, man, Terry, we're going to wait till the end to do the kids' things. The Spirit just feels like He's moving in here this morning. I don't want to interrupt it. Murmuring and disputing is so awful because it's God that's asking us to do the things He asks us to do. When we move as a body, we move for the name of Jesus Christ. It's your name. You're a strong and mighty tower. It's your name. We run into you. We serve you. You're not disputing against me or against the church. It's Him. It's Him you're murmuring. That's what Paul says. He goes on, he says, you know, you guys are lights in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. And he says, I don't want you to grumble and dispute that you'll be blameless and innocent. You'll be blameless and innocent. And you won't be if you grumble and dispute because you're lights. Now, y'all got one of these. If you're like me, you got about a drawer with about four or five of them in it. And it's always a real fun game when you need one to go and find one and go, nope, 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 yep, nope. And if you get in my drawer, what I have in my drawer are these lights, and you kind of go like this, and they kind of come on, and then they go off. And they kind of, oh, look, if I hold it like this and I press on the end, I can get this thing to work. Now, that's not fun. And pretty soon, I get impatient, and I go, get out of here. And I find another one. Grumbling and disputing makes our light do that. It makes our light kind of intermittent, kind of like, what do I got to do to get you to turn on your light? You know, I mean, it's like, come on, Jesus says. Come on, Terry, shine the light. Would you quit? Go. Quit grumbling and disputing and just do what I ask you to do. Look at the bodies moving. Go. But he also tells us one other thing about being a light here. It's the strangest thing there in verse 14. It says that you'll be innocent. And the word innocent is really, it has to do with mixed. The basic definition, part of that word innocent, so that you'll be blameless and innocent, it's that you won't be mixed amongst the twisted and crooked generation out there. And you know what he's saying? When you grumble and dispute and murmur, you're sending a mixed message to a crooked generation that needs to see a beam of light just going, poof. We serve Jesus and we love each other. We're there for each other, man. We come together. We serve each other. We serve the name of Jesus. Don't send out a mixed message by going, yeah, I go there. Well, they shouldn't be doing this. I don't know why they're doing it. You're sending a mixed message. And man, do they need to see our light. We are lights. That's what he said. Don't. This is horrible. Don't do this. As one other thought, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God. Children of God. You want your kids to obey, right? Oliver, you come up here a minute. Simon, you want to come up? Seneca, I need a dance party. I need a dance party. Any other dancers? Emma, Ella, you want to come up? I need a dance party. You guys can come right up here. Come right up here. I need a dance party. Audrey, you want to come up? Zoe, you guys come up. Kids, anywhere. You want to come up? You want to dance? We're going to have a little dance party. I'm going to teach you a new dance. I'm going to teach you a new dance, all right? This is scary, isn't it, Oliver? Grandpa's going to teach you a new dance. That's pretty scary. All right. So here we go. So I'm on the end. So we're going to put our arms out like this. Stand with me like this. Sideways. Turn sideways. Okay. So here's what the word obey means. The word obey means you get under it. So if I say, hey, obey me, you go. Can you do that? Can you? Let's see it. Try it. I'm getting under it. I'm getting under it, bub. Get under it. Mom says, hey. Make your bed. I say, all right. Mom says, hey, take out your trash. All right. I can do that. Hey, pick up your clothes. I'm getting under it, man. I'm getting under it, Mom. I'm with it. I'm home. That's very good. That's very good. Thank you. You may be seated. That's the word obey. Woo! You guys are good. You guys got some groove there. I'm pretty happy with that. Our young kids coming up are not Baptist, Debbie. They have groove. They have some groove. We're children of God. Just as much as we hate it when we're parents and we tell our kids to do something, they go, man, I don't know why I got to do that. That's so stupid. God's our Father. He's our parent. He said, hey, man, I said it. Get under it. Get on under it and do it. Okay? You're children of God, right? And people need to see you're children of God. They need to see. They need to see my Father in me. Is that what your Father did? Is that Jesus? Is that how you are? That's your God? Man, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to be with you. I'm ready to help you. That's what Paul said. Let me show you what Paul said. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul told them this. He said, hey, we're children of God. I'm a friend of Jesus. I follow Jesus. Right? So you want to see it? That's what Paul says. Serve each other, love each other, Do all things what the church does. You be a part of this movement for the glory of Christ. This is what he says then. Verse 17. If I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with y'all. And likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Hey, if I'm poured out, I mean, crying out loud, Paul, you're under house arrest right there. You had to rent a place and you have a soldier living there with you and you're under house arrest. And he says, you know what? If I'm like the Old Testament sacrifices when they put something on the altar and then they poured a drink offering on top of that, he says, and if I happen to be the drink offering upon your faith, if I can help you in our faith family here, and I just happen to be poured out, I'm glad and rejoice about it. I'm glad to be inconvenienced for you. I'm glad to be poured out for you in your faith journey. Man, if I can do that, I'm happy, and I hope you're happy with me. I hope you are too. Let's just pour ourselves out together. Let's be inconvenienced together for the faith family, for Jesus, our Father, as lights. It's Him working and shaping in us. If I'm poured out, I'm happy about it. He doesn't stop there in verse 20 and 21. He's rolling now. Verse 20, he says, or verse 19, he says, well, I hope to send Timothy to you pretty soon. Verse 20 says, I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a reflection on the church community around Paul when he says, hey guys, I know you have needs and I'm really hoping to send Timothy to you pretty soon because, man, there's nobody like him. He genuinely cares for you in your needs, in your concerns. I hope I can send him to you. There's no one here like him. I don't have anyone else who's genuinely concerned about the brothers like Timothy. He doesn't stop there. Verse 30. He's talking about this guy, Epaphroditus, a brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Says that he was ill and near unto death. Guy shouldn't have been serving. The guy was sick. The guy was ill. He was near unto death. He shouldn't even been there. I want to send him, he says. I'm so eager to send him that you can rejoice at seeing him again. He didn't die. He lived. And he says in verse 30, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. We're children of God and we serve each other. Although we're inconvenienced, we're not going to grumble and complain. We're not going to be contrary. Paul says, I'm poured out, I rejoice. Timothy, man, there's nobody like him. He so cares for the needs of you guys. And Epaphroditus, the poor guy was sick, almost died, and he just kept going. He just kept going. God spared his life. But I'm going to send him to you. He almost died serving. The only one I've forgot to tell you about is how he began this chapter. There's only one other person that he mentioned that I haven't told you yet. See if you can guess who this is. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be clutched onto, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, in verse 8, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even a death on the cross for you and me. Do you imitate him? That's what this whole chapter is about. This is your Savior. This is Easter. This is Good Friday. Do you follow this guy? Because he didn't grumble. He didn't murmur. He went to a cross, and like a lamb before his shears was silent, he opened not his mouth and became obedient unto death. And Paul says, and you know what? Now when I'm poured out, I rejoice. There's nobody like Timothy who genuinely just cares for others. And Epaphroditus, I'm going to send him too because he almost died serving you and helping you. His heart so goes out to you. And I know you've been a good church so far. You've obeyed. But please, please don't start grumbling and murmuring. It's so unlike Christ. It so sends a mixed message. It so doesn't honor your Father, your children of God. Rejoice. Rejoice to help each other, to serve the faith of the body. I'll close with a quote. Johnny Erickson Tada. Name ring a bell with any of you? Johnny Erickson Tada. Paraplegic. Paraplegic. So Johnny was just recently asked to write an article. And they said, would you, Johnny, write an article to yourself, to your 30-year-old self? Now that you're into your 60s, looking back to who you were at 30, would you write an article to yourself, to your 30-year-old self? So that would be a good thing for us to do sometime. You know, if you're old enough, look back and say, hey, if I could write an article to my 18-year-old self, this is what I'd tell myself when I was 18. But Johnny wrote an article. This is what I would tell you. And she was a paraplegic at 30. Says this, why sweat the small stuff, you may ask? Because I was deceiving myself, thinking God was only concerned that I would trust him with a life of total paralysis. Yes, by his grace, I could trust God in my quadriplegia. And I couldn't wait to tell other disabled people about him. With such a noble ambition, surely he'd ignore small infractions. A slip of the tongue in gossip. Watching TV when the Spirit says turn it off. Running mental movies of past successes. Flirtatious remarks. A slight fudging of the truth. Cherishing inflated ideas of my own importance. Slacking off in prayer. Daydreams I shielded from the scrutiny of the Spirit. And a few worldly passions now and then. Oh, young Johnny, I would say, don't allow these things to sink their talons into your heart. Don't cling to the very things which impaled Jesus to the cross. The cosmic stakes are too high, the price too great. Don't jeopardize the sphere of influence God has given you, and don't diminish your eternal estate. I would insist with my younger twin, your flimsy attempts to whitewash minor offenses is heinous to God. Stop it. Gossip, grumbling, contrariness is heinous to God. Take it from Johnny. This Easter, as we pull together now, we have plenty of needs to go around. We have plenty of things to help and to care for one another. Don't celebrate Easter. Don't even start. If you're a grumbler or contrary, if you're a disputer, gossiper, your Savior hung on a cross for you. And like a lamb that was led to his shears was silenced, he opened not his mouth. He went to the death, even the death of the cross for you. That's why this crime against Jesus is so awful. It is so unlike the very core of what he did to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a word from your scriptures. Thank you for teaching us your scriptures. We love you. We love Jesus. With humility, he became a servant and served even to death on a cross. That's not even inconvenienced. That's not even disagreeable. That's just death. Lord, by your grace, teach us. By your grace. It says here in your word, you shape our will and you shape our works. Lord, shape us. We're asking you. We're begging you now. Remove all the murmuring, the disputing, the contrariness, the divisiveness. Remove it all from this body. Cleanse us. That we'll be innocent, pure, without blemish. Shining our light well and unmixed for our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, bro.